What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. We got a ton to talk about as Jake Diebler's Ohio State Avengers are 4-1 since he took over. Are they on their way to March Madness? We think it's possible. We'll talk more about that, of course. Great interview with Jimmy Sotos, former Buckeye, current model, current podcaster, college basketball analyst online. He's doing some great stuff, some great breakdown videos. We literally talked to him for almost an hour, so we're not going to sit here and harp too much on any specific topic because we literally got into everything that we wanted to talk about before we had Jimmy on the show, while we had Jimmy on the show. But real quick, before we get to that, shout out to our guys at McGee's and the Butcher's Tap. If you're in Chicago and you're deciding what you want to do for St. Patrick's Day, McGee's, Butcher's Tap, or any other Last Call Tavern Group bar, they got some crazy stuff going on, including a trip to Ireland. You could win a free trip to Ireland. It's crazy. You could have the luck of the Irish. Check out McGee's. Check out Butcher's Tap for all things Buckeyes and all things St. Patrick's Day. And with that, Joey, I will kick it over to you. What do you got?
Yeah, it's been a while, guys and gals. It's great to be back. A lot has happened in the last 2 weeks on the Drive the Lane side of things. I was in New York watching a lot of basketball, which is fun, but not as fun as, I don't know, proposing to the love of my life and becoming a fiance like this guy over here, Andrew, was. So I'll toot his own horn. Him and his lovely now fiance, then girlfriend, got engaged. And that put a little bit of a speed bump in the Drive the Lane content plans, and rightfully so. So congratulations to Andrew and his lovely fiance, Brittany, who actually has technically been on this show, I think, at some point.
Yeah, a few times.
Amazing, a great time with them. And we celebrated at McGee's, which was, shout out to them, because it was an incredible evening there. And shout out to Andrew and his family for hosting. But it's been a wild couple weeks. We talk about it all with Jimmy, but just a little appetizer. Like Andrew said, Buckeyes are 4-1 since Diebler Ball started a few weeks ago. And they're not just winning these games. They're winning these games incredibly convincingly. Like today when they beat the shit out of Michigan, which we always love. And Michigan is the worst team in the Big Ten by like a wide margin. But you still got to win the games and hit the shots. And it was a phenomenal senior afternoon, day, night for the Buckeyes. Zed started it off with a huge slam. You got Owen Spencer back in at the end of the game. It was all good stuff. And it puts the Buckeyes in the conversation to be on the bubble, right? Are they on the bubble quite yet? Not really. But there's a conversation about them being on the bubble. And that's all you could ask for right now. You know, we're going to keep saying this, but we talked to Jimmy, and it was like a three-person discussion. Ohio State is very relevant in the grand scheme of college basketball postseason tournaments, right?
And they're going to stay relevant for a really long time because they don't play Rutgers until Sunday.
Right.
So all this talk is going to stay for a week.
Right, exactly. So it's all fun stuff. It's truly, like, amazing, like, ridiculous, impressive. I don't know what the word is for this turnaround. But shout out to Diebler, shout out to Bruce Thornton coming back from his migraines, playing great. Dale Bonner had his best game of maybe his Buckeye career today. Devin Royal is playing as good as anybody on the team. Jameson Battle doesn't need to be said. Every time he shoots it, you assume he's going in. It's been very fun. A nice change of pace. The Buckeyes are coming on strong and they're making a push to be in the NCAA tournament. You know, do they have to win more games? Absolutely. But it is possible, and a lot of it has to do with the resiliency from this team, and a lot of it has to do with the resiliency from the coaching staff, starting with Jake Diebler, and it's been a lot of fun. So we'll see where it goes from here. It's a quiet week for the Buckeyes, like we just said. But, man, if they beat Rutgers, there is a conversation to be had, and let's focus on beating Rutgers for now and then go from there. So it's all fun stuff, Andrew, right? I mean, it's just, the Buckeyes are Buckeye basketballing again.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
They are Buckeye basketball again. One thing we didn't talk about with him, we briefly talked about Holtman and Diebler and jobs next year. I want to ask you this, then we'll kick it to Jimmy. Not, you know, will Holtman be coaching? Will Diebler be the head coach of Ohio State? Who will be at a higher profile job as head coach next year, Diebler or Holtman?
I mean,
I'll tell you where I'm thinking, and then you can go.
I don't know.
The answer
no
is,
comment. I have no idea.
The answer is, if Diebler's the head coach at Ohio State, then it'll be Diebler, because no way Holtman gets, you know,
right
at a better spot than Ohio State. But if Diebler's not the head coach at Ohio State next year, it'll be interesting to see. So it's a fun question to think about that, you know. Why not think about fun questions? We talked about everything else with Jimmy. I tried to come up with something that we didn't talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. So, listen, we talk about so much with Jimmy, there's no point in us even talking anymore, but we'll see you guys in the outro. But before that, enjoy this interview with Jimmy, because it's about as good as it gets. Good group of three guys talking ball until we really couldn't talk anymore. So without further ado, TikTok legend, now college basketball analyst, Jimmy Sotos.
All right, join us now on Drive the Lane. I think second appearance all time, second of, you know, hopefully a few more in the future. Jimmy Sotos, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good to see you guys.
Jim, always a pleasure. We, you know, we'll dive into a lot of hoops discussion. We were catching up beforehand, but let the people know what you're up to. You know, for many Ohio State fans, you are TikTok star Jimmy Sotos. You're much more than that now. Fill everybody in.
I appreciate you saying that, but I'm no longer a Buckeye. Love my time there, but I'm now living in New York. After I got done playing ball at Ohio State, I went overseas and played in Cyprus for half the season, got cut short due to injury. And then I was kind of at a crossroads at that point. I was like, do I want to continue my professional basketball career, or do I really want to take this content thing seriously and start to lay the groundwork for what I want to do for the future? And it was a tough decision. Like, it's bittersweet having, you know, hang up your jersey. But I'm happy with my decision. I'm comfortable with it now. And now I'm in New York as a full-time content creator, which is crazy. I model, whatever that means. But yeah, I mean, I'm taking this content thing seriously, specifically trying to carve out my own little lane in the sports media landscape, which, as you know, is takes time. You got to build up some sweat equity, and no matter what you do. And that's where I find myself right now.
Have you decided if you're going to be super, super biased towards the Buckeyes, super biased towards the Big Ten versus other conferences? Yeah, because Joey and I, obviously, we, you know, analyzed the team a little bit, but we said the second Diebler took over, oh, this team's going to make the tournament. You know, we're full bias.
No, y'all ride for the Buckeyes, and I respect that. I appreciate that. I mean, so I'm trying to do something with my brother. We're trying to build not necessarily just like the media side of it. We're trying to just build like a basketball content web, whether it's, my brother's an AAU coach, so I'm trying to follow his AAU team around this spring and summer, highlighting certain players, kind of following their journey. Cause I mean, Joey knows, you probably know too, Andrew, like, kids are content, like, especially when they're around their friends, and in the AAU scene, like, dude, like, it means so much to them. And like, they're low key playing for like scholarships. So like, I'm doing that. And we're just trying to see where we can grow it. But as far as like my bias toward the Buckeyes, I'm trying to just keep it a buck. I can't help but, like, you know, ride for them and have their backs regardless. But I'm trying my hardest to, you know, just stay in the middle ground, but also cover all the other teams and just give my perspective being in the Big Ten, being a player. And now as just like a casual fan, she was just loves watching college ball.
And for those that don't know, obviously Jimmy knows a lot about basketball. And if you haven't seen his content, you know, we'll be retweeting his stuff like we always do, and you'll see it, because I'm sure if you're listening to this, you have seen it. But his brother that he does it with knows way more about basketball than me, Jimmy, and Andrew combined. So
yeah, he's smart.
It's good entertaining content, but you'll learn a thing or two for sure. So definitely make sure to check out Jim and his brother, what, the Soto Show, correct?
And the Soto's
basketball
club.
Yep. So make sure you're checking them out in addition
Join
to
the club. The
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but what we got Jimmy here for today is to hear his basketball chops, talk about the Buckeyes, talk about a little bit more. But we're going to start with the coach, which everybody, that's the hottest topic right now for Ohio State is is Jake Diebler taking over the team. They're now 4-1 as we sit here hours after Ohio State beat Michigan, the biggest defeat Michigan has taken from the Buckeyes since 2005, I think, which is really
damn.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
What did we end up winning by, like 30? Was it 30?
It was like 27, 25, something like that.
Hell yeah, bro. I mean, that's how you get your lick back, Buckeyes. Exactly. Man.
Needed win. Jake Diebler, 4-1 now as a head coach. I mean, it's insane. Jim, we have two different Jake Diebler backgrounds, right? But for you, seeing Jake being the head coach now, obviously you played for Holtman, but Jake was the associate head coach when you were there. What are your thoughts on Jake and the Buckeye team right now?
I mean, first off, congrats to Jake. You know, I love what he's done, just kind of letting guys off the leash a little bit, specifically Devin Royal. Like, he's unlocked something in him. I don't know if it's Diebler per se or if they're all just kind of playing freely with house money, just rolling the ball out and going to hoop. But lately, like, it's just been fun to watch. You can see they're playing with a sense of pride, purpose, and that's what we've kind of just been hoping for. That whole month of January was just – it was hard to watch, yo. Like, the Big Ten is – the monotony always hits around that time of year for the Buckeyes more so than others, it seems like, every year. But, you know, I don't know if it was a new coach syndrome or it was just, like, sometimes when you're having that much, like, defeat and, like, failure, like, you're taking that many L's consecutively, like, you just need a shift in the locker room. And, unfortunately, it had to be Holt, but, like – the team is thriving right now, dog. Like, they are hooping, and it's so fun to watch. They're having fun. They're, like, rallying around each other, and it's just really cool to see. And, you know, Diebler, he served a couple different roles while I was at Ohio State. My first year there, he was, like, our personnel guy who led the scout. And then my second year, he took over as our, like, defensive coordinator. And the one thing about Deeb is he knows how to get through to guys because, like, he's younger, and he can resonate with us a little bit more. And, you know, when you lose a locker room like Ohio State has the past couple of years in that month of January, it's hard to get that shit back. And, like, to Diebler's credit, he got it back. Like, they rallied around him, and now they're playing for him. And it's just really cool to see, like, as an alum, as a fan, like, I'm just glad that they didn't just throw the white towel in on the season, you know. And, like, because they didn't, they have legit prospects to make the NCAA tournament, which I know sounds crazy, but, like,
crazy.
They actually have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks because I've kind of been, you know, doing the math and looking at the scenarios, and despite the Diebler games, I'm kind of like, you know, they're playing like a tournament team, but it's going to be tough for them to really get in. And Joey and I kind of dug into that. But the question for you is, you know, whether it's Ohio State or not, let's say the season ended right now, do you think Diebler has done enough for people to be like, all right, this guy's going to be a head coach in college basketball next year?
For Ohio State, like, really,
or anywhere.
I think definitely has proven that he could be a head coach of a college basketball team, division one level for sure. Will it be at Ohio State? I just genuinely don't think so because of Ohio State's reputation. And, like, they're going to want the city to rally behind, like, a big name, like a Sean Miller or a Greg McDermott. Like, so I definitely think Deeb has proved that he can coach his ass off and he can get guys to play hard and compete and scrap. And he was fortunate enough to, like, learn from Coach Peden and Coach TJ and Coach Holt and just kind of implement a lot of the stuff they taught him to this squad while also having this young, passionate energy, this fire to him that the players can relate to. And it's working right now. So I think he's definitely earned a head coaching job. I think it would be dope if it was at Ohio State because I just know how this world works. Like, if you bring in a new head coach, the current guys on the squad, a lot of those guys, they're gonna get forced to transfer because certain coaches are gonna bring in their guys and they're gonna tell certain guys, if you want to stay here, this is gonna be your role, whether you like it or not. I just know how this world works, and it's like, it's unfortunate that's just how it is, but, you know, I think Deeb has definitely proved that he knows how to coach.
I've gone through a range of different emotions because, you know, I care so much about Ohio State. I want it to be, like, if I take a step back, you know, I want it to be the right guy, not the guy I'm closest to be the head coach. But he has made a very, very strong argument to, at the very least, get a shot and have an interview. I mean, this is his interview, but to have a real interview about, hey, this is the outlook for the team. This is what you'll get from me, yada, yada, yada. In my heart of hearts, I agree with you that a new AD coming in it's going to be hard for them to entrust a first-time head coach especially at a school like Ohio State, that you could say whatever you want about the last few years, about the non-Mata years, whatever, but Ohio State is a top 20 job in the country. Like, it is a job that people will leave schools for to come coach at because of the resources, because of the credibility, because of the alumni. Like the list goes on and on.
Have, like, I think it's like the third highest Nike budget.
Right. So like, exactly. 100%. But like, as we sit here, if you told me Jake Diebler was the next coach of Ohio State, I would be thrilled. That's kind
of that'd be lit.
It would be fun. It would be fun and awesome because he was my video coordinator as a freshman at Ohio State, and to see him earn his way through the ranks and be amazing. Like, that's all great. But at the same time, like, he is young, hungry, a great recruiter, loves Ohio State, loves his guys, and we've seen it and he's proven it. So I think he deserves, I mean, to answer your question, Andrew, like, if some team doesn't take him as their head coach, then
there's no doubt. Right. Again, I'm biased, so I'm like, he definitely should get a head coaching job. But like, I just genuinely think he should. I think he's earned that. I don't know.
You know what would be crazy?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how crazy would it be if there's reports that like Diebler and Holtman are interviewing for the same job May?
Paint the perfect picture. DePaul is trash. And they need somebody to come spice things up. And that would be dope for us. You know what I'm saying? We have to go home and watch Holt and Deeb do their thing again.
So funny because my dad really, really, really wants Holtman to take the DePaul job because he thinks that the coolest thing would be not only having him in Chicago, but like to see him turn around like the worst Power 5 program in the country. But it's scary. So maybe a guy like Holtman doesn't take that job because he's very proven and there's other jobs out there and he doesn't want to do a rebuild and prove he doesn't need to do that. But maybe a Jake Diebler, DePaul rightfully so, takes a shot on a young, up-and-coming, hungry coach. That. And then, you know, Jake's an incredible recruiter. Like, he could keep Chicago guys in Chicago. That would be very interesting. But I sit here and truly want him to be the next coach of Ohio State. I truly want him to be.
Do you think it's too risky for Diebler to take the head coaching job of a program that's that down in the dumps? Because like, he is like riding a high right now, and like, if he goes to DePaul, like, some, like, there's only so much you can do sometimes. And like,
I think that's a good point. Like, think about like when NFL coaches get their first job as a head coach. Yeah. Like, if it's not the right one, are they like blackballed?
I was going to say, then it's almost like, all right, that was your shot. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. So I don't think college hoops works exactly that way, but at the same time, if you're sitting here as a prospective head coach and you are like, you know what, if it doesn't work, like, you can't think if it doesn't work. I don't know if you're not cut out to be a head coach if you're thinking that way. So,
and it's Diebler really interesting think though. Like that. Diebler does not. Diebler has that edge to him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say you got to have like that irrational confidence to be one of like the guys that make it. Like, I'm not saying like Deeb's irrational, but like, he definitely has a lot of faith in himself and belief in himself.
No doubt. And it'll be really interesting because at the end of the day, it comes down to if the new AD has people in mind, no matter what Jake does, it might not matter. Or
he might already have his mind made up.
Right. You know, or if he has an open mind. And Jimmy, maybe you'll come on later when we do like a Ohio State coaching search type of episode. Because I don't want to get into the weeds because like McDermott, for example, like, he's about to get an extension. As much as I'd love him to be the next coach, I think it'll be him. And maybe in 2 weeks when the conference tournaments are done, we'll have a better sense of who's out there. So maybe we'll do another episode with you then. But
the Lamont Paris Michi story is crazy, though. I can't get it out of my head. But all right,
I know.
Put a pin in that.
Listen, he could be the next head coach. I don't know. To play devil's advocate, I'm scared of the same reason why people are like, Jake Diebler's never been a head coach. He's had one good year.
I know.
So it's just tough.
It's
so,
a good year, though.
It's a really good year. But let's talk about the team.
Sorry, my cat want to say hi.
You're good.
Hey, Snowball.
Snowball. Let's talk about this team that's playing with, I mean, as much confidence as we've seen all year.
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of Michigan today. They they've won close games. They've won blowouts, no doubters, pulled away at the end. They've done it all. Mm-hmm. The game that they lost, like, Minnesota is playing some of the best basketball in the Big Ten.
Minnesota's good.
Yeah,
Minnesota's
they're really great. Good. What are your – I mean, like, individual players, what are you seeing? What do you like? Like, why is there so much success right now?
I just think the guys are playing freely. Like, I think Roddy had a really rough stretch in January, and to his credit, he kind of just came out of that. Now he's just playing ball again. He's being active on defense. He's letting his defense take over his offensive game, too. He's just being aggressive. Bruce has been steady all year, honestly. He had a couple up-and-down games, but, like, for the most part, Bruce has been legit. But, like, I made a video about him. Devin Royal is, like, special, dog. Like, he does things on the court that, like, other people just, like, I couldn't even talk about it all because, you know, how Instagram Reels work. You only got a certain amount of time. But, like, his ability to, like, affect the game with just his passing and just, like, stepping in front of guys, getting guys open, just moving to his open spots, like, his touch passes, he affects the game on the defensive end, too. I don't know, like, he just has an energy to him. Like, you could tell, like, he wants to be out there and he wants to affect the game. And he's helped a lot. I don't even think he did much against Michigan, but, like, honestly, Michigan, like, is kind of – that was a shameful performance on there. And they kind of just, like, played pickup that whole game. But, like, for the Buckeyes, like, I love what Devin does for the team. What's my guy? Transfer. Bonner. Bonner's been playing well, too. He's been hooping. He hit that the game winner against Michigan State. Like, I don't really know, like – if it's been, like, one guy, I think it's just been a collective, like resurgence of the team. They're just playing harder. They're playing with more purpose. They're not getting defeated. I mean, Jameson Battles playing his ass off, too. Like, they're just fun right now. They're clicking, and, like, I just hope it carries them in March a little bit so that we can just hold out a little bit more hope, you know, because right now it's fun.
I agree with you with Devin Royal. I think I tweeted during the Nebraska game, like, granted, who knows who the next coach is? Who knows if he stays? He sure strikes me as a guy who's going to stay because he's a Columbus guy and grew up dreaming about playing at Ohio State for whoever the coach was, right? So,
dude, he fits the Big Ten, though. Like, that EJ tweener, but, like, nobody can guard me, really, and I can guard everyone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he fits the Big Ten.
He is on the trajectory of, like, think about Kade Bates-Diop, one player of the year in the Big Ten. Kade as a freshman was irrelevant. Love him to death. He had one good game. It was in the NCAA tournament. Like, Devin Royal is showing, like, signs of becoming, like, a legend. Like, he's not – if he goes to the NBA after next season, amazing. That means he was a first-team All Big Ten player.
But if
not, he's going to be a three-year, four-year player at Ohio State that – is going to rack up accolades and wins and hopefully championships. Like, he's a legend in the making, and especially because he's from Columbus. I'm just such a huge fan of his. I've been so impressed with Jameson Battle, too. I know you touched on him. Mm-hmm. Like, you mentioned throwing in the towel. The whole team could have thrown in the towel, but especially him, like a guy who his whole career has been, frankly, on not-so-good teams, and he came to Ohio State to make the NCAA tournament. And when you – got into the middle of November and your coach gets fired, you go, well, I don't think we're going to make the NCAA tournament. He could have said, you know, my ankle hurts. I know he missed one game. My ankle hurts. My this hurts. I'm done for the rest of the year. But instead he has – I mean, he hasn't missed a free throw in 2 months. Every time he shoots it, Andrew tweeted that today. Every time he shoots it, you assume it's going in, which that just there's only like five guys like that in the whole country. So, like – he's been amazing, clearly a huge voice in the locker room and a leader. And it sucks, but sometimes these negative, you know, things that happen during the course of the season, right? It could be an injury to the best player. It could be as significant as a coach being fired. Like, that brings the team together. If you don't think that –
it shifts it a little bit. It gives somebody, like, an extra reason to, like, extra motivating factor. Like, I don't know.
And if you don't think that – both things can be true. These guys are playing for Diebler, 100%, but they're also playing for Holt still. Like, they are, there's an element of, you don't think Jake got in the locker room and go, let's win this one for Holtman. Like, he didn't deserve, you know, like, he wishes this is still his team type of deal, right?
Sure.
The foundation was laid by Holtman. I'm not going to sit here and say, like,
Diebler's the savior.
No, and I'm also not going to say, like, the same exact success would happen if Holtman was still a coach. I don't believe that, but it's crazy how the team has clearly been brought together around bad news. And who knows, like, it's March, crazy things happen. Like you said, they have a legitimate chance like less than a 50-50 chance, but a legitimate chance nonetheless to make the NCAA tournament. They got to win at Rutgers. They probably got to win. Depends what they where they finish, but if they win two games in the Big
Ten, they got to get to the championship, I think.
Oh, you think they got to win three probably?
Well, they could get the bye still, right? Because the middle of the Big Ten, like, it's pretty mucked up. So, like, they could get that bye. And I just can't help but think if they have the same record as Michigan State, unless they match up with them in the tournament, Michigan State is going to get that edge because the committee doesn't want to end Izzo's streak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Big Ten isn't as loaded, like, ranking-wise as it was when I was there, when you were there.
Yep.
So we're not going to get as many teams in as usual. So I'm afraid that the committee is going to give Michigan State that extra spot.
There's no doubt, and Andrew obviously chime in here as well because we've talked about this, like, being on the bubble isn't like no one's going to feel safe, but I like if they win three games, it sure seems like there's serious pressure, almost like leaving no doubt versus leaving it up to the committee is not a place you want to be. Like if Ohio State has 22 wins, like they beat Alabama, they beat Purdue, they beat Michigan State, like they have one bad loss, and it's not even that bad of a loss. Penn State's not that bad. Dude, so
you know what? I get so that December where that L to Penn State like still lingers, but they had the win over UCLA in the in whatever I forget the CBS Classic.
Yep.
They had the win over UCLA, and they had the win over West Virginia, which at the time were like these are good non-conference wins to stack up, but they don't hold any weight because UCLA and West Virginia are both trash too now.
Right. So, like, thank God they won those games, but yeah, I mean like. You go back. I mean, they beat Minnesota. That's a tournament team. They beat Nebraska. That's a tournament team. Yep. They, you know, the loss at Indiana or at home against Indiana hurts a lot, almost as much as the Penn State loss. And if you win one of those two games, we're sitting here like, holy cow, Ohio State flipped the script and maybe they're in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. So, you almost rather have an extra game in the Big Ten tournament. Like you kind of want another chance. Want
that bye. You need to keep stacking wins.
Yeah.
Like
you get more wins. Obviously, if the wins happen later, you get to the semis, the championship. But like they are still searching for wins. And I saw a tweet today, or I think someone responded to our tweet and was like, if they didn't blow the Penn State and Indiana 18-point leads, then they're in the tournament. But if they don't blow those leads, who knows when
Holtman's probably still
Holtman's
the coach.
Fired. Well, Holtman's still the coach. Maybe they don't win these games against Michigan. Like, you can't look back at –
play this what-if like, all day.
Yeah. It's really a crazy what-if. But, you know, normally it's a team. It's like, what if you don't win – but this is literally if they win those games, they have a different coach right now probably.
And it's also crazy because, like you were kind of alluding to, Andrew, like – If the season ended right now and the Big Ten tournament was tomorrow, I'm pretty sure they get the bye. I'm pretty sure they're at like 10 or 10 right now. Who knows who has a game in hand or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you
what happened with Maryland and Rutgers. Right.
But if you like look at the bracket, it's almost like, all right, well, if we end up the 8 or 9 seed and there's no – it's not a gimme game, obviously – but if you win that game, you're playing Purdue. And
I'm going to say, as long as Purdue's not on our side, like,
right.
I mean, we beat Purdue, but like, man, Purdue's tough. Like, we're not trying to see Purdue. I'm going to just keep it above.
But if you're an 11th seed, you're playing Michigan, who's terrible. And then you're not playing Purdue the next game. You're playing a relevant team. And if you win that game, you're playing like Wisconsin or you're playing like Nebraska or not Purdue and not Illinois.
The path is prettier.
Yeah. It's more games, but it's easier. And you get, Andrew, like you said, like having 23 wins looks better than having 22 wins. So
and you can ride that momentum in the Big Ten tournament. Like it's easy to sneak up on a team because you just played well the day before, and now you play the very next day against a team who hasn't played in a couple of days. I mean, that's how we lost to Penn State in the Big Ten tournament my last year there. They won the game that we had the bye in. Came and played us, and, you know, they punched us in the mouth. We couldn't recover. We were climbing from behind the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was a long day. I drove to Indy just to watch you guys lose, just to drive back home.
Yeah, man. Wiz pulled up to the locker room excited. We were like, bro, get out of here, dog. Like,
yeah, I know. He drove me to the game, and then he said, I have better seats. I'm going to go sit in my seats. So I was like, all right, I'll see you in a year.
I'll see you in a year.
If they beat Rutgers – you know, there's going to be a serious, all right, this is what has to happen for them to make the tournament. If they lose the
real
Rutgers,
discussion,
they have, they
if
have
they to. Yeah, if they lose to Rutgers, then it shifts to like you have to win the Big Ten tournament. Right. But I don't think anyone on this podcast thinks it's impossible for them to win the Big Ten tournament. I mean, they have beaten
Purdue already. Like they can. Yeah. We know they can. Like they are so talented. It was just, you know how it is with college kids, man. It's like it's easy to be like, well, nobody believes in us. But then all of a sudden it's just like, wait, nobody believes in us? Let's go prove everybody wrong. But like it, this is how it is with college kids. Like if they got something to rally behind and play for, like anything can happen, dog.
I do think everyone jokes about this. I've seen tweets from Titus. I've seen tweets from probably you, Jimmy. I know from us. I know from like other – Barstool kind of has a lot of Ohio State fans all of a sudden. But all the everybody's tweeting like nobody wants to play these Buckeyes in March. And like that's funny and cute like 2 weeks ago. But now it's a fact. Like nobody wants to play these guys.
For real, like we got shooters now, and we got guys playing with confidence. We got guys playing aggressive, and we got rim protectors. Like, dude, Zed dunked. I'm sorry. Yeah. What was like? What the hell was that?
First
like
play of the game. So that, I mean, Felix has a block in 36 games, and Dale Bonner played his best game of his Buckeye career probably today.
Like everybody is playing well right now.
It's crazy.
Like they have legit shot it. Like, and you're right. People are like, oh yeah, like it's cute, whatever. Like they had a shot, but like nah, like. We're gonna end up having to eat our words because like they're gonna.
Yeah, no, trust me, we do this all the time. What about the rest of the Big Ten, Jimmy? Who do you like? Who do you not like? Who would you like the Buckeyes to play? Who would you not want them to play?
I really don't want to see Nebraska just because if they're hot, there's really only so much can do. Like Hoiberg runs those NBA sets, and like there's so much space out there when they're shooting the ball well that like they're just hard to cover. But we beat them, but I don't really want to see them in a one game scenario. Who do I really like? I really like Illinois' makeup though. Like I think they can make some real noise. I think they have a chance to beat Purdue in like a neutral site game. Even like they can go on a big run in March. Just their makeup. They got downhill guys. They got and like Marcus Demask is like legit. You can play through him. You can like he can be your table setter. He can be your like offensive initiator, and he can just be like your scorer. Like he does it all. Like and Coleman Hawkins is like a defensive specialist. He guards 1 through 5. He keeps possessions alive. Like their starting five is as talented as, and isn't their offensive efficiency rating like the highest in the country right now too? Like they're scary.
Against Minnesota last week when they scored like 102 points in normal two halves of basketball, they had like 1.67 points per possession, which was
that's
like
OD. That's OD.
Yeah. Let me play devil's advocate for them because I love them.
Uh-huh.
Like you, Jimmy and Andrew. We have a ton of Illinois friends who like that they root for Illinois basketball is a big deal when you're from Chicago.
Oh yeah.
Are you at all worried? And you kind of answered the first part. Are you at all worried about they have no point guard? Are you at all worried about they play zero defense?
I mean, like if I'm like an Illinois fan, like, yeah, I am worried about that. Man, these one game scenarios, you just never know because these teams that can get hot can like put the game away so fast. And like, it's, you know, like if they're not hitting, then like they're screwed. So, yeah, that would worry me. But I think in they got leaders too. They got veterans, and in March, like I think they will guard. You know, I think they put a lot of stock in their offense and like their ability to score the ball. And it's hard to just flip a switch. But low key, when you have veterans and you got guys that have been there before, you kind of can flip a switch a little bit. Yeah. And you can kind of just like, all right, we're gonna lock in on defense this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are the most intriguing team. I will say, you didn't talk about Purdue, but I'll just quickly touch on Purdue.
Oh, that's a given.
It's a given. People are saying it's Purdue. They'll always just be Purdue, and they'll Purdue themselves like at some point in the NCAA tournament. Here's the difference between last year's Purdue team and this year's Purdue team. First of all, Zach Edey's a monster. I can't stand watching him play. It's boring. It's not fun, but he dominates. There's no doubt he dominates.
We take his greatness for granted.
There's two things that last year's team did not have that this year's team does. Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith are a year older. Lance Jones is ridiculous. So their guard play is great. They have really, really solid guard play. Last year, FDU just got under their skin, pressured the living shit out of them, and there was nothing they could do.
Yep.
So that's number one. Number two, they didn't shoot the ball well last year at all, and now they're the best shooting team in the Big Ten, like 40-something percent, which is insane. Like, they shoot the ball well. Mason Gillis knocks down shots.
They're all getting tee-ups, man. They're all getting –
exactly. And so if they're making them – there's
a gravity to them. Like,
if they're making them, they're really hard. They're really, really hard to beat. So they didn't make them against Ohio State, but we also played great defense on Edie. But, like, Purdue is not last year's Purdue. They're not – they're not 16 seed upset Purdue, I don't think.
That extra year for Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith is huge. Like, yeah. It's huge. And then the addition of Lance Jones adds a whole nother dimension to their team.
They should have an all-transfer team in the Big Ten also. I was thinking about that the other day.
Like, dude, who would be on that? A.J. Storr, Damask, Lance Jones, Jameson Battle.
Dale Bonner the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Dale Bonner today.
Thanks.
Yeah. Ace Baldwin. It would be. I mean, every team has a great transfer now, but like,
yeah,
it would
be like Langborg at Northwestern.
Right. I mean, they don't have, like, a lot of conferences have freshman of the year and newcomer of the year. I feel like they need to add that while we're talking about all these guys that have such a huge impact.
Yeah. I mean, especially now with the new landscape of college basketball, like, you have to be active in the portal.
You've got six new guys each year from transfers. I mean, you have to.
I got a quick question for y'all.
Yeah, come on, hit us.
What do y'all think about NIT appearances for Ohio State? Is that an L on the year? Do we even go? Like, what do you think about that? Because if we make the semis, I think we definitely are an NIT team. We might be an NIT team right now.
I think we are already. Andrew, you wanted to go first?
Last year felt like This year just feels like, it's such a good question. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. I could see Diebler, if he's really locked in looking for, you know, trying to get the job trying to get a head coaching job elsewhere, he could be like, we just can't focus on the NIT. But then you could also, you know, look at the fact of like, all right, you know what? It's, you know, one more chance to get the Bruces.
Yeah.
And the Roddies and those guys who maybe 1% of them wants to transfer. Let's have a good NIT run. And then, you know, just 100% these guys are back next year. So I think all that considered, the way the last month has gone, it would be, or the last 3 weeks, whatever it's been, have gone, it would be a positive to go into and play well in the NIT. So I would be for it. I would be for watching more of these games, but if they lost to Rutgers and then they lost their first game in the Big Ten tournament, I'd be like, fuck the NIT.
Cabo.
That's it. Season's over. So, like, it's easy to say right now, like, if they just, you know, won two more and then lost a close one, it'd be like, let's get a few more games. But I would maybe feel differently in, you know, a week and a half from now.
That's fair.
I think there's zero doubt that they would accept. They would absolutely accept a bid to the NIT. There's no doubt about it. The main reason being, this is an incredibly young team. And also, like, guys like Jameson Battle would like to keep playing basketball, I'm assuming.
And it looks like it's fun for them right now, too, you know? Like, it looks like they're actually enjoying hooping and they want to keep hooping.
100%. I think that, like, listen, I played in the NIT and it was miserable, but it was also kind of cool because, like, postseason basketball is awesome. And, like, the experience of postseason basketball, it's not the NCAA tournament, but it's still unique and, like, special. And let's just assume for a second that the guys that can return do return to Ohio State. Playing meaningful tournament-style basketball games on neutral courts, on opposing teams' courts against non-Big Ten teams is a big deal. Like, for a young team, like, the youngest team in the Big Ten. Like, we said it all year, but it didn't feel like that because Roddy and Bruce are not basketball young. They're just age young. Even like Felix is not basketball young. He's just age young. But it's still incredibly relevant. Like, you don't think Scotty Middleton and Devin Royal would benefit from playing 25 minutes in the NIT? Like, they would 100%. So I think there's no doubt they accept an NIT bid, especially if they could play a game in Covelli or something. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be dope. Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I hope they don't have to accept an NIT bid, but like,
Do you not play in your normal?
No, you do. It just depends, like, on – I remember when we played in the NIT, the women had to play in St. John and host NCAA tournament games because we were playing, like, on the same day. Like, let's say there was a concert at the Shot on the
game. Oh, yeah.
Or, like, Florida – it's crazy, but, like, what happened to us is – we had a home game, our first game, and if we won, we were like, oh great, we play Florida if we win, and we're the lower or the higher seed, so we would go to Florida. Like, that's sick. We get to go to mm-hmm. Gainesville, like warm, like actually travel, like feel like it's actually a tournament. But Florida's gym was being renovated. Like, as soon as their last home game, they started renovating their gym.
Boys, so
we hosted the game. Like, so there's a lot of different reasons, but yeah, the NIT, man, that was, I remember.
As long as not the CBI.
Funny.
I don't NIT think that story. Even, does that even exist anymore?
I think the CBI does, but not the other one. There was like the CIT.
Is there even a fourth? Oh yeah, there might have been
another one, but maybe the CBI doesn't exist. But long story short about NIT quickly. Freshman year we played in it. It was you know, awful, whatever, right? Not fun. We beat Akron, which was cool. Like, it was a packed gym because a lot of Akron mm-hmm. fans came to watch. But then we played Florida, and Florida had like NBA talent. We were like kind of close all game, but you know, we were playing like five freshmen, like whatever. AJ Harris, who's 5'7", dunked all over some guy. Like, it was sick. It was a great atmosphere. Next year, we suck again. We're like 17-15, and Mata brings us all into the locker room and says, all right, I know how I feel about the NIT. I don't want to play in it because that means we're not in the NCAA tournament, but it's a great opportunity for us to grow as a team and you guys get more reps in front of scouts and all this stuff. So we're going to, I genuinely want to see where you guys head at. We'll put it to a vote. Everyone voted yes, except for one guy. And we'll talk about who the one guy is offline, because I don't want to put him on blast. but one guy didn't vote. So we were like, all right, if we get invited, we're playing. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get invited, but we didn't get invited. And they said, all right, you guys got the weekend to go home if you want. I drove home as soon as I could. And then I got a text like the next day that from our strength coach, like, hey, 6 a.m. workouts start on Monday. Like, I'll see you then. It's like, holy.
Q?
No, it wasn't Q at the time. It was Coach Rich.
Damn, Q.
It was crazy because we got our spring break. Like, we were allowed to stay home for longer. I haven't had a spring break in years. And then because of AAU or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like, we had the whole week off. I went home, and the whole time I'm just sitting there dreading coming back. It wasn't even a break. I was like, I got to make sure I'm in shape for when I come back.
That's ass, dude.
We were doing 10. We were doing 10 sets of 10, one Olympic lift each.
Oh, y'all were doing like prime preseason lift.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. That's, we were doing like 10 sets of 10 bench on Monday, 10 sets of 10 squat on Tuesday, 10 sets of 10 front squat on Wednesday. Like, it was just insane. All at 6 a.m. So those were the days. PTSD. Shout out to the NIT.
Those lifts give me PTSD.
Yeah, not fun.
Jimmy, before we get you out of here, you got any more questions for us? If you remember from last time, our whole thing is we flip the interview on the person we're interviewing and we make it their show. You've already been doing this, but if you have any other questions, now's the time.
Where do you guys see next year? Let's say, all right, we got Zed leaves, right? Battle leaves. What other seniors? Bonner's gone. Where do y'all see Ohio State having to fill in the gaps? What kind of player do you think they have to bring in? Maybe a specific player, but like, what type of player do you guys think Ohio State needs to get?
I'm so nervous that they're going to have to bring in like 7-8 guys.
All right, let's assume that like we got our core. We got Bruce, Roddy, Felix. You know, let's just assume that those guys are there. Devin's going to be
really
there.
You don't really have shooting. You don't really have that much shooting right now.
Yeah, you're right. And Battle leaves.
And you really don't have shooting when Jameson Battle leaves. And
I think that Bruce and Roddy are good shooters. They're not shooters. That's not their best attribute. Right. So I would love a wing, maybe a little bit more dynamic than Jameson Battle. Not necessarily he's not like finesse, but he's just so skilled and a great shooter. But like an athletic wing that can guard the other team's best player, like mm-hmm. a guy like that who night in, night out is giving you 15 points a game, maybe type of deal.
Yeah.
Like, lessen the load on Bruce and Roddy, who can how about like an NBA player that's on the wing, like they can
defend
and rebound, right? But like, you gotta fill Jameson Battle's shoes and in a different way, maybe in like a more athletic, defensive minded sort of way. But
like
what's
a proper
great
3-and-D.
Yes, absolutely. And what's and you're going to need to get another big.
Definitely the big.
Unless Austin Parks is turns out to be outstanding.
That's true. I forgot about him.
But and then you got to get a backup point guard, who a guy, preferably an older guy, who knows that he's only going to play 15 minutes unless he's playing alongside Bruce at stretches. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, if I'm being honest with you guys, like, I'm very scared that those guys are not going to come back because they weren't. I mean, they were recruited by Jake, but if Jake's not the head coach, like a lot of these guys,
they're going to be gone.
They come to play for a coach, not for a school. Right. Right.
And especially so, the other coach brings in his guys. And he
exactly.
Tells
so what I was going to say is what you will see is you might lose Bruce and Roddy, but you might get a backcourt from, the short list of schools, South Carolina, Creighton, FAU, Xavier, right. Guys that are, they're studs in their own right.
Yep.
And so the team will look a lot different, but
yeah,
if we do get our guys back, you need another center. I'm assuming Devin Royal is going to slide into that four position. And then, yep. Mahaffey maybe comes off the bench and they are a good yin and yang for what they bring to the table. And then mm-hmm. you got to get a guard that can spell Bruce, but also play with him. And then get a guy who's an instant impact starter at that three position, unless you think Scotty Middleton's the guy and you think Austin Parks can
continue. He's such an interesting player because he you can tell he's still raw and he's still like, I feel like I was expecting him to like figure it out by now, but like he has just like so much energy. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of just like always moving around. I feel like he's in the way sometimes, but because he has so much energy, like the ball find him and he'll make a play. I just want to see more of him, I guess. Like I want to see what he can be with a full off season going into a sophomore year. He's got his feet wet this freshman year. I don't know. I'm intrigued by him. I feel like he could be really good.
I think it's so interesting because we were spoiled, and I know Andrew is thinking the exact same thing. We were spoiled by Malachi and Bryce coming in right away as immediately our NBA players. and Scotty, maybe he will be one day, but he's not an immediate NBA player, which is
Malachi with a big game tonight.
Yeah. Amazing. Wemby with a ginormous game tonight too. But
per usual.
Yeah. But like that's normal in college basketball that a freshman coming in is not a lottery pick. Like that's normal. So it'll be interesting. I mean, the bottom line is it all depends on what coach comes in because every guy that we named could be gone, which is crazy. But that's the nature of college basketball now.
It's crazy that the youngest team is losing so many guys, even without transfers. Right. Like you wouldn't think that there'd be four senior day guys on the youngest team in the country. Like normally when you hear that, it's like just Jameson Battle transferred and he's walking on senior day. It's like it's interesting that they're – the youngest team. And also, last thing I'll say, this year, obviously Jameson Battle is your guy who, like, you're not shocked if he hits two threes a half and blows the game open. Last year, Sean McNeil, you know, any game could kind of explode. He became, you know, my favorite Buckeye
hot boy
ever. Yeah.
Hot boy.
And then,
is there a better nickname than that?
No. And then 2 years before that, it was like Justin Arns was supposed to be, but you know, there were some 2 years, three, 4 years ago, I guess now he was, and then he kind of came
his back
down
was
a
real
bit.
Issue,
yeah, he had a bad that injury.
But you need that guy. You know, Joey, it was Cam Williams, your years. Like, you need that guy who just, like, you're not going to be surprised when you look at the box score and he hit four threes. And with everyone that you're losing, you know, I guess you wouldn't be surprised if Roddy or Bruce, because of the volume of shots that they take, you know, at the end of the game has four threes. But you'd be shocked if you're like, wow, Roddy Gale is the best three-point shooter in the Big Ten this year. Like, you know, when it's going up, he's knocking them down. So my biggest concern would be shooting, but Joey, you just kind of scared me a little bit thinking that the team could look completely different. It just sucks when you get a new coach and like it could be worse because of who's there.
Grass isn't always greener, Andrew. It's not always greener.
That's low-key still why I still wonder why, you know, I don't want to question Gene Smith, but why he decided to get rid of Holt. I mean, obviously, like retrospect, it's working, but
it's working. He said they needed a spark, and holy cow, did they get a spark. It's just hilarious that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Well, I think so much negotiating is happening now.
Oh my God. A handshake deal could already be done. 100%.
And like, it would be worse for Holtmann, worse for the school, if they were doing that while he was the head coach.
Do y'all think Holt takes a new job next year? Do you think he just kicks his feet up, takes his bag, you know what I'm saying, collects his check and kicks it for a year? I don't know. His daughter's going into high school soon. I don't know. He, like, you know, as a head coach, you like, you invest a lot into these teams, but also at the same time, like, sometimes it's all you know. So, like,
you know, what do you think about a guy like Thibodeau? Would Thibodeau ever take a season off from coaching? No chance.
Yeah.
Knowing Holtmann, there's elements of, like, he doesn't golf, like, he doesn't have, like, a ton of hobbies beyond, like, working out. You know, he's
house. Like, as far as coaching, like, he's like a nerd, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's an analytics guy. He's a numbers guy. Like, he lives and breathes this hoop shit.
All of his best friends are in the coaching space. Like, if he wants to be an analyst for the Celtics and have, like, a low-stress job, like, I'm sure he could do that in a heartbeat, you know? Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting. My gut tells me he coaches next year.
I hope so. DePaul, man, I'm rooting for it.
I think he coaches 2 years at, like,
maybe even Chicago State. Balloons. Joey, just give him to Chicago.
I think he coaches 2 years at kind of a random school, whatever that random school ends up being, DePaul, whatever. And I think he's back somewhere, you know, high caliber Ohio State esque within, you know, two to four years.
I hope so.
There's a drastic delay on that if you take a year off. I guess you could say you take a year off and you see what's available
next year, but
you never know. Next year could be a weird college basketball year where, like, there's not really a bunch of good jobs and you didn't take one this year.
You just never know, man. You never know.
Somebody might get fired in the middle of the year and you could join the staff. I mean, you
just hey-o.
So it's crazy. Jim, my last question for you, and if you have others, hit us after this, but after I ask this, who's going to win the national championship? We didn't even talk about the rest of college basketball. Who you got today on March 3rd, Trey Day?
It's really hard to not say UConn, but it's really hard to pick a back-to-back champion. My dark horse, I'm going, I don't even know if I believe it, bro, but I love Kentucky, dog. They are fun. Like,
talk about no defense. Holy cow.
They're number one three point shooting team in the country too.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of different five man lines they can throw out. Damn, we've been talking too long, bro. I can't even talk. But, like, they got a lot of different guys they can throw out there, a lot of different rotations they can play with. And they're scary, dude. I don't think anybody wants to see Kentucky just because all those guys live for the moment. Like, it's kind of funny watching them in close games. Who's gonna take the last shot? Because, like, they all wanna be that guy.
Yeah.
See them all just, like, looking at the ball like this, like, yo, like let me be it. So, like, I don't know. It's cool. But I wouldn't be upset if Kentucky did it.
Kentucky is like Illinois on steroids. They'll score 140 points but give up 138. You know, like, they
– yeah.
But I can't argue with that. They got the best guards in the country, and they're all freshmen.
Oh, yeah. And Big Z unlocks a whole new –
yeah. He's incredible too.
Stop for them, dude. Like, he's tough. But I still think, like, bro, like realistically, bro, like, UConn is so damn
good. Yeah, UConn is amazing. And I think the next team that I think of UConn first, and then North Carolina just keeps coming to mind for me.
I think of North Carolina. I thought of Marquette a little bit too. But
Creighton is incredible also.
Creighton, yeah, dude. This year is going to be fun. Like, I'm
Houston,
super excited for fun.
Houston.
I don't believe in Houston ever, dude. I ain't going to lie. I don't know. I just – they're so scrappy. I feel like they just, I don't know. They'll get to the Sweet 16. They'll lose again.
Do you believe a little more now, though, that, like, they're really doing it in the Big 12 this year? Like, they're really, beating some good teams. Yeah.
So good. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a hater.
It's just going to be Purdue.
And I think I have a bad
Purdue narrative's going to be over.
Is it going to be Purdue?
Yeah. Is it going to be Purdue? Probably, whatever.
Oh, man, we'll see.
I mean, it's good.
Anything else for us, Jim?
Nah, man, I'm good. I can't even talk anymore. I can't even form a sentence. I feel like
we appreciate you as always. We'll definitely have you on again soon whenever you can talk again. And Cade Bates, the opposite of New York. Dwayne Washington Jr. is in New York.
Yeah,
it was just
another big game.
I know.
Like, came back from getting the pin out of his thumb. He's playing.
Yeah, like, he's back,
dude.
Finally. So, we will be in touch and get dinner soon, and it'll be great. So we'll do I'll come one weekend where we can do a Nets Knicks game in the same weekend.
Dude, that'd be so lit. That'd be so dope. You know, I'm about
it. I'm coming. Tell the family I'm coming. Hi too,
brother.
Yes, you do the same, please. Andrew, yeah, you're coming too.
Pull up.
All right, brother. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Later, bro. Thanks
man. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Drive the Lane, and we hope you enjoyed this interview with Jimmy Sotos that was an hour. And if you listen to the whole thing, you're a legend. Thank you. Jimmy appreciates it. We appreciate it. Jake Diebler, future guest, he appreciates it. The Buckeyes have a legitimate chance to go dancing, but it's all going to start with this Rutgers game on Sunday. Well, it doesn't all start with that. I guess a couple other dominoes could fall but they have to win this game on Sunday. I'm a firm believer in saying they have to win this game on Sunday to avoid having to win the Big Ten tournament to get in. You win this game on Sunday. We just talked about all this. You win this game on Sunday. You got a chance to do something special. You lose the game. Then you have to do something special. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. It would be very Buckeyes if all this hoopla started and then they let us down one more time, but that won't happen. But such a great interview with Jimmy. He brings a good fresh take on a lot of different things, and he lived it. He lived it with a lot of the guys on this staff. And I can always appreciate when a guy is rooting so hard for his guys, and he definitely does that. So we'll have Jimmy on again soon. Like we said, the Sotos basketball show, his show is incredible. A little bit more analytical in the sense of their analysis is more breaking down film and talking specifics of players and what makes players ticks. And Jimmy's older brother is an incredible coach himself, coaching AAU basketball in the suburbs of Illinois. So he brings a fresh dynamic. So definitely check those guys out. But you've heard a lot of us. So we're going to end it here. We'll see you guys on Twitter all week, and we'll definitely see you guys on Twitter Sunday, pregame, postgame, during the game, watching the Buckeyes take home another victory.
Are you busy this weekend, Joey?
I am. Are you?
Are you busy Sunday?
I'll be out of the state.
I was just going to say we could do a Twitter space, but we don't have to.
We could do a Twitter space.
We'll figure it out. Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes, beat the Scarlet Knights.